Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
Hello, everybody. I am Tay, Eric Taylor. I'm hyped up. It is a Friday. It's on. We're balling out. Basketball, college ball, football, we're just balling. So if you want to join us on the ride, we love it. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. You can tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today. Same thing, liking us on Facebook. Hit us up with the emails at Gmail. It's RAEANDTAYtoday@gmail.com. And the best thing to do, come to our website, man. Check out RayandTayToday.com. We've got hot topics, poll questions, mock drafts, top fives. We got a little bit of everything. We got some of our old shows. You want to check them out, our Peter Vesey show, our Al Troutwig show. We're just making moves, man. So join the show. And, Ray, let them know what's going on tonight in a busy Friday show.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So let's get into it. So we've got breaking news like we always do. We're going to bring you news from around the world of sports. We're going to throw some NFL, NBA, some baseball, and some golf at you. And then we're going to get into NCAA hoops. It's March, so March Madness is right around the corner, or March Madness is upon us, I should say.
It's here, maybe.
Then we've got some NFL talk to bring you. We're going to talk the combine, the cuts, restructuring of contracts, and we've got some NBA talk. Wow. Some stuff happening in the NBA. Joakim Noah had a huge, enormous game. LeBron James is still going crazy. Kevin Durant says, don't forget about me. And then we're going to bring you our debut of our new segment. I'm sorry. And this dates back for almost 30 years. Ray and Tay, you know, we make a lot of predictions and where we're right, but we can be wrong sometimes, and we're adult enough to admit when we're wrong. So I'm sorry is a segment where we apologize to teams, to players, and anybody out there that we underestimated or, dare we say, disrespected.
Or so underrated, or just we slept on, you know?
We slept on them, so we snored a little bit, and then we woke up in a cold shock. So it's a fun segment. We think you'll enjoy it. We take responsibility for our, you know, for our underestimation, and we'll give you a couple of people that we're sorry for underestimating their skills, a team and a player. So let's jump right into it. We got some breaking news, Tay. What's going on?
Listen, man, we're gonna bounce around real quick because we got a lot of stuff to get into. But congratulations to the Ravens winning quarterback. Kudos for organization and for Flacco. We know Monday is the last time when NFL teams can franchise their players, and Joe Flacco reached a new long-term deal. It's estimated to be, you know, give Glazer the credit for breaking it, anywhere from 6 years to about $120 million. So we'll see what the final numbers are, and he'll sign it on Monday, so we'll get the officials. But congrats to them. And later on, we get in the NFL, we'll talk about all these, some of these franchise tags that are coming and coming up this weekend, and then some of the cuts, because we lost some good players who were cut, you know? So we'll talk about it later. So what's happening in golf, man? Break it down for me.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, sometimes we just got to call people out, right?
Yep.
And so if you don't know, the Honda Classic is going on right now. And Rory McIlroy, arguably the best player in the world right now.
Ranked number one.
So he's at +7, finishes the 8th hole, and he's on the 9th hole, and he gets frustrated and just walks off the course. So at the end,
with his caddy, it goes to his car, says a couple of things at reporters, and just bounces.
And that's it. I'm out. And he wasn't going to make the cut, which is okay. You know what? It's hard to make the cut.
He didn't make it last week either. He didn't make it out of Abu Dhabi.
And this is
the
defending champ. So he walks off.
And he wasn't injured, Ray. He's not
even
hurt.
Well, he claims, hold on now, he claims that he has some wisdom tooth issues. And I don't know about you, but I had some wisdom teeth issues. But I still went to work. And on a Friday night when work was over, I went and got my wisdom teeth taken out. I got all four of them taken out at the same time. It was a little painful, but I did it. So my man Rory McIlroy walked off the course.
Don't get me started.
And then said he blamed it on the wisdom teeth. So
let me tell you something. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Forget the wisdom teeth. He put two balls in the water. He left. He quitted. He quit. Quit like a crybaby. If Tiger Woods did that, he would be ripped from here to the high water. It'd be breaking news, national news at 6 o'clock on your local and world news tonight. I'm tired of Rory and this young generation. He's a crybaby. I don't want to hear it.
So let's just shout out the tournament, though, because it's not all about Rory leaving. So Luke Guthrie is leading at -9. Michael Thompson is at -8. And there's a couple of folks at 7 under par. So Rory steps off the course. Tiger makes the cut, but the Honda Classic goes on, right? It means nobody's bigger than the game. So kudos to everybody else that's trying to win that thing. And definitely Rory's a young guy. He made a big mistake, and hopefully he'll learn from this. He'll get beat up in the media, both here in the States and in Ireland and, you know, in his home country, and hopefully he won't do this again. Because you're a professional. You show up, and the worst thing that happens
is you
have a bad day and you don't make the cut. Okay, not the end of the world. Then you go to the dentist. And I'm pretty sure there's dentists in South Florida. So you can get some dentists going on.
Oh, and he lives in Jupiter, so he probably just drove home. He bounced and went home. So anyway, enough about that. What's popping off in baseball, man? Tell me what's going on.
All right, so in baseball, our Yankees offered Robinson Cano a contract, and as Scott Boras does, he basically said it's not enough. So no terms of the contract were released. So the Yankees said it was a generous offer, quote unquote. And Scott Boras wants more years and probably and more money. So my guess is he wants something like an Alex Rodriguez 10-year contract. Sorry, I don't know if he'll get the $27 million that A-Rod gets per year. But
no more
the Yankees
than 6 or 7 years for Cano.
Yeah, the Yankees are hamstrung, especially a guy that's 30. So I'm not sure that anybody should be getting a 10-year contract these days.
No,
but we'll see how that plays out. Look, he'll stay a Yankee, and they'll come to some agreement, but they're really just in the first couple innings, to use that metaphor, in terms of solving that dilemma. Moving on to the Dodgers, it looks like Carl Crawford is still having problems with his elbow and is still not ready and won't be ready. So Don Mattingly said he won't be ready to make the season opener. He'd be very surprised if he does. So poor guy, really hamstrung by injuries, and you want to see him at full strength. But here's a story I got to tell you. Now, if you follow baseball, you know about Elvis Andrus. He's a great young shortstop for the Texas Rangers. He came up as a defensive stud, and now his offense is turning around, and he's actually an all-around, you know, a top-five shortstop. He sat out a spring training game. Now, granted, he did play back-to-back games, but he sat out a spring training game. Why? Not because of wisdom teeth. Not because of hamstrings, but he said his arms were hurting because of tattoos.
Ray, I don't want to hear it. I have one tattoo, and it's a little scratching.
Here's the problem. Could you play that night? Could you play that day? If you got a tattoo, would you be able to play that day?
Yeah, come on, man. It hurts a bit, but I don't know. They don't make them like they used to, man. You know, maybe kids don't grow up on peanut butter and jelly and chocolate milk and Scooby-Doo anymore. Maybe they're too soft, you know, and it's disgusting. Let's move on. Look, the NBA, we got Kevin Johnson in the last minute getting some billionaire and millionaire owners to try to submit to the league to purchase and keep the Kings in Sacramento. Kudos to Kevin Johnson and these new owners. I kind of want to see it work, but I kind of want this Seattle to get the, to get the Kings and bring back the Sonics. I'm sort of torn. I don't know. How do you feel about that, man?
You know, here's the thing. I'm Seattle deserves a team, but Sacramento doesn't deserve to lose a team. So that's where I'm kind of torn in the middle. The Oklahoma City.
And they're not going to expand, right? They're not going to expand. We know that.
Probably not. So it would take a team that's not doing well to move to Seattle, and that the best candidate for that is Sacramento. But you know what? I respect Kevin Johnson. He said the same thing that I'm saying, basically, that Sacramento deserves a team. I'm sorry, Seattle deserves a team, just not the Sacramento Kings. And remember, Sacramento Kings came in, what, 85 or so? They came from Kansas City. So it was the Kansas City Kings, so they're going to move again? I don't like all this movement. So I hope they stay, and I hope Seattle does find themselves a team. I just hope it's not the Kings.
Definitely. And you know what I want to say? We might have a guest on Monday, a musician from Seattle who's, you know, done some stuff with Sir Mix-a-Lot, a jazz musician. Michael Powers, I think he might be able to join us on Monday, and he's a big Sonics fan and Seattle sports fan, and he'll, you know, maybe be able to talk about this with us and what's going on in the Seattle area because he lives there. So, you know, we might have to chop it up with him on Monday about that. So we'll definitely see. I wanted to, before we get to the NCAA, man, I wanted to mention Royce White. He's making trips, a 34-hour trip in an RV, to play in a D-League game in the Santa Cruz area, I'm sorry. And I just, you know, we both wish him well. He has his anxieties with traveling on planes. And I just hope it can work out and Royce White can make it and start playing for Rockets in the NBA. And this is definitely an interesting issue. And we've, you know, we spoke about it before on the show and, you know, try to monitor it. But just kudos to the NBA and the D-League and the Rockets trying to work with him to really help him out and to help him along, you know. So
yeah, and he's a trailblazer in unfortunately a negative sense, right? This whole issue of, you know, medical attention and anxiety disorders and traveling. So this is really trailblazing stuff. So I hope we get to the bottom of this, and I hope we get to see Royce White in the NBA.
Yeah, and the Celtics are signing Terrence Williams for the rest of the season and probably for the 13-14 season. So good for Terrence Williams from Louisville and Patino to maybe you know, stay on with the Celtics for a bit. So listen, talk to us. It's college hoops time. It has been the craziest week. We'll talk about the rushing the court and Coach K and all that. But you know what? I want to talk about Gonzaga, the last game of the night. You stayed up. You saw it. It was close. I thought BYU would give him a run and Gonzaga would win. Tell me what happened, man.
I tell you what. First of all, I'm going to give you a stat. So Gonzaga didn't fall victim to this, but I still have to give you the stat anyway. 19 times this year, a top five team has lost to an unranked opponent. Think about that for a second.
That's incredible.
19 times a top five team. A top five team is basically unbeatable. They're one of the best handful of teams in the country, and they lost to an unranked team.
We had three top five teams lose this week.
Go down this week, absolutely. Yeah. Now, some of them lost to ranked teams, but still, it's still a crazy stat. You know, this season is great. If you don't like college basketball,
you're crazy.
Then, you know, cover your ears because this season is great. Everybody is just, wow, it's great. Look, college basketball maybe in the long run is better served with these Goliath, you know, David and Goliath situations with the programs that, you know, the Carolinas and the Dukes and you know, Kentuckys and UCLAs and Ohio States and Michigan States and so forth. But this year, there's no clear number one. And as we said, there are going to be number one seeds out there with four and even five losses. So,
and maybe Gonzaga, they have Portland this weekend. They might, you know, might only stay with
Gonzaga,
two, three losses.
Gonzaga, right. So back to your original question. So Gonzaga, these guys are the number two ranked team in the nation. And if they beat out, and if they beat Portland by virtue of Indiana losing, they'll be number one in the country. So the Zags win 70-65. BYU is a tough place to play, and BYU has some talent on that team. BYU gave them a run for the money. They tied it up in the second half. They never took the lead, though, and I think it's a big deal to not take the lead. But, you know, the kid Tyler Hawes, their guard, was hitting jumpers. He had 19. Brandon Davies, the kid that was suspended last year because of that whole scandal with his girlfriend, he had 12 and 11 rebounds. But in the end, Gonzaga pulled it out, and Kelly Olynyk quietly had 19. He only had three rebounds. But between him, Bell, the guard, and his boy Harris up front, I call him Elias, but they call him Elias. Harris, Elias Harris.
Yes.
You know, he grew up in Germany, so they got to throw Elias Harris up there. But the Gonzaga Bulldogs, man, they are for real. I
for
tell
real.
You what, I watched the whole game. They're 28-2, and they can play on a neutral court. They can do some damage in the NCAA tournament. I wouldn't be surprised, depending on the matchups, because they're almost locked to be number one out west, right? At
mm-hmm.
best, they're the number one seed overall, but at worst, they're the number four, you know, top seed in the bracket, right? So they'll
right.
get the
I think they're
one
definitely going to remain a number one seed.
Yeah, I got to believe. I mean, even if they lose to Portland and lose in the first round of the WCC, they'll still be a number one seed. So Gonzaga's a team to watch. And if you don't know, do your homework, because these guys can play. Pangos,
oh, yeah.
Bell, Olynyk, and Harris, these guys are these. Mark Few has a team out there. They're for real.
But let's get to the ACC. And Duke the Giant falls down again. Now, look, they play Miami Saturday at home, revenge game, right, to revenge their loss to Miami, and supposedly Kelly will come back and play. But Duke goes to UVA. Shout out to Charlottesville. My cousin Dawn, her birthday. Happy birthday, Dawn Kennard. She went to UVA. I'm a Terp, went to Maryland. They were going crazy. They rushed the court. I saw security there. They got off pretty safe. You know, there's some cursing at Coach K. Maybe, he dropped the F-bomb curse back. You know, I can understand what he's saying. We do need to make sure everybody gets off the court safely. I don't think we should make such a big deal out of it. I don't think we should stop the kids rushing the court. You just got to, be safe. Even though in the SEC, you cannot rush the court. So I respect that too, right? But the thing about it is, it's on the court. Harris got busy, dropped 36 on Duke. And let me ask you a real question. Where was Plumlee? Because you saw Steph Curry balling out, trying to, copy his brother, Stephen Curry, who killed the Knicks with 54 points, and we'll talk about that.
We'll get to that, yeah.
Where was Plumlee? I mean, I know they double-teamed him, but this is what I say, Ray. Like, to me, he's nobody's player of the year candidate because in big games he disappeared. He disappeared against Alex Lem against Maryland. He disappeared this game. He's disappeared in other games this year. At least three or four times, Plumlee was like a four-point foul-out no-show in a lot of games this year. So what did you think about UVA and that win, and probably has got them in the tournament now?
Yeah, that win sealed the deal. I think they're an NCAA tournament team. I think that they played really well and did well for themselves in Charlottesville. It was nice to see. Ultimately, college basketball is about competition, and I like what Krzyzewski did at the end. He said, they talked about rushing the court and all this stuff, but he said, look, at the end of the day, we weren't looking ahead to Miami, because that's what everybody said in the press conference. Were you looking ahead to Miami? And Coach K said, no, we were prepared. We had a good,
they beat
good
us.
Couple days of practice. They just beat us. The better team won. The better team won. He didn't say it in so many words, but basically he said the better team won. And Joe Harris had 36 points. I mean, he was 12 for 20 from the field. He hit 10 free throws. The guy was the best player on the court.
Did you see how hyped he was, though? I love y'all. They played ball. And you know what? 10-5 in ACC. Yeah.
He's a junior, and Rashid Suleiman is a freshman, and here's where staying in college for 3 years helps you develop your game. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is what I find interesting about the ACC, and, obviously Miami is sort of the kings of the conference, you could say, at, 23-4 and 14-1 of the conference. But I really like Virginia. Obviously we got the matchup. North Carolina won last night, beat Clemson. And I can easily see, Florida State is probably not going to make it. But when you're looking at the ACC, I could see Maryland, North Carolina, Virginia, NC State, Duke, and Miami of Florida all making it in, six teams. So it's going to be kind of interesting how the ACC, Big East, and Big Ten this year sort of, with all the conference switching, how they sort of do in the tournament, where they go, and how they wind up, finishing in their records in the tournament. I got to say, I really like how Virginia played. It was definitely impressive, and kudos to their fans and ACC. But the game this weekend, man. Indiana lost this weekend. They only have, the one game this week. But Duke, let me ask you this. Obviously, Gonzaga is going to be number one. But if Miami beats Duke again, can you see Miami sort of either being number two or, you know, maybe getting a lot of votes for number one?
Number two. I think they'll be number two. Look, in the top ten, there's definite turmoil, right? Indiana, now, this is all great for them come tournament time, but Indiana number one loses. Gonzaga number two almost loses to BYU. They win.
Duke
loses on Thursday, but they play Miami on Saturday. Michigan loses on Wednesday.
Miami
plays Duke. Georgetown wins in double overtime. They need double overtime to win this week. And Florida loses on Tuesday. So everybody in the top ten has had some chaos. But I do believe that if Miami beats Duke, that Miami will slide up to number two. So wouldn't that be great to have a Gonzaga, if they beat Portland, to have a Gonzaga at number one and Miami at number two? How great would that be? And
it would
maybe
be so
Georgetown
great for college
slides up
basketball.
To three or four.
Who you think could go to three or four?
Georgetown could go to three or four.
Well, this is interesting. We talked about this off air. I kind of see Indiana at three and Georgetown at four. I don't know if Georgetown, and, you know, they've had a good record, good season, but I just in terms of the scheduling and who everybody's played, I just see Indiana being at three, Georgetown at four. I mean, it's no shame in the game if it's reversed, right?
So here's the thing. If you ask me who's the best team in the country, it's Indiana.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, does Georgetown maybe deserve the last poll of the year before the Big East Conference, and in Indiana's case, the Big Ten Conference or so forth, I would say, look, Georgetown has won. If they keep winning, they'll win. They've won 10 in a row, 11 in a row, 12 in a row. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
12-3 in the conference, 22-4 overall. But I'm saying overall, if you're being honest, Indiana's had a better season than Georgetown. So I would put Indiana at 3 and Georgetown at 4. But are you ready to tell me that Georgetown, if they win the Big East tournament, could they get a number one seed this year?
He could. They could. If they win the Big East tournament, they could. Because here's the thing. All those Big Ten teams are going to beat up on each other, right? So Michigan State and Michigan and Indiana, only one of them could win that conference. That means one of them is going to lose at best in the semis, and one of them is going to lose in the finals.
Okay, so let's say Gonzaga's number one in the West. Georgetown might be number one in the East. Duke number one, or Miami number one in the South. And then the fourth, who's
depends
the fourth
on
number
wins
one?
The ACC tournament. And then the fourth number one has to be a Big Ten team. I mean, we thought the Big Ten would have two number
one. No, Indiana. So it's Indiana, Georgetown.
Well, but what if Indiana loses to Michigan State in the finals? Or in the semis?
Yeah.
What if Indiana loses in the semis of the Big Ten? Even though I think they're the best team in the country, they might still get a number two seed.
Right.
But
I got to believe the four number ones are Gonzaga, Big Ten winner, ACC winner, and
then either Georgetown
or Florida.
Florida or number two team out of the Big East.
Out of the Big Ten.
So maybe Michigan. Right? So if it's a Michigan-Indiana final in the Big Ten, that probably is good enough for both of them to be number one seed.
Can I tell you, you would not want Georgetown to be a number two seed. That's a tough out if they're in your region. You know, if Georgetown's in the region against Gonzaga, wow, that's tough. But remember this, and this was interesting, and I guess it was probably a neutral site, but good wins by Virginia. Had a couple of bad losses, but remember, they beat Wisconsin. So that victory early in the year beating Wisconsin, it looks really good now because Wisconsin is probably going to make the tournament with some of their huge wins in the Big Ten and, you know, just how good the Big Ten has looked. So that's really nice for Virginia. I think Virginia is you know, looking good. I mean, you look at the Big Ten standings. Obviously, you got Indiana, Michigan State. Wisconsin is third in the Big Ten, and they're 20-8 overall, but 11-4 in the conference. You know, they're only one game behind Indiana.
That Big Ten tournament is going to be great.
Oh,
and can you imagine
that
up until, we got to check on this, but up until, 7 or 8 years ago, they didn't even have a Big Ten tournament. So
that's
the Big Ten and the Pac-10 were so obstinate that they didn't even have end-of-the-year conference tournaments.
Yeah.
Really? Really? Could you imagine on a year like this when they've got many great teams?
Right. It sounds silly, though, right? Because it's like you're missing an opportunity for great tournament play that I think can help teams before the NCAA tournament, and it's an opportunity for money. As greedy as these conferences are, I mean, that's why they finally all did it, right? Because it's like, hey, you're missing out on money for your conference. So right now the Big Ten has got seven teams that will definitely make the tournament, going up from Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Indiana. So I'm hyped up. So then any other games this weekend, let me ask you, that you're kind of like feeling out in college hoops that you think might be big? I mean, obviously we told the fans about, you know, our listeners about Miami and Duke, and that's 6 o'clock on ESPN Saturday. That's going to be a tussle. You looking at anybody else that you think is sort of like, all right, this is a big game?
Well, look, obviously that's the game. I mean, everybody plays a little. You want to see the Gonzaga-Portland game because you want to see if Gonzaga, for the first time in their history, can be a number one seed.
Right.
Duke and Miami is obviously a top five matchup. You also have a good matchup with Syracuse and Louisville. So that's 10 versus 12. That's on Saturday. CBS is covering that game.
Oh, that's a doozy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
then,
the number two game of the weekend, definitely.
Yeah, and the Big East has another game, Notre Dame-Marquette, right? It's the back end of the top 25, but it's still a pretty sweet game.
Hey,
so,
I got one for you, Ray, that could be, and Tay's been pretty good. I predicted that.
We got
Indiana
a good one on
upset
Sunday.
Against Minnesota.
I got
this one for you. What do you think about number 11, Arizona, going to Shabazz and UCLA, Pauley Pavilion? Could you see UCLA trying to make the tournament and pull the upset against Arizona?
I can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a good one on Saturday.
Shabazz is one and done, so he's going to try and leave it all on the court. As Seth Davis said, he's NBA.
I know he's so talented, but do you really want to see him go to the pros already?
No. I want to see him work on his game. I want to see him work on his game and be an even better player. I mean, he's a talent now, but I want him to develop into a player. Now, keep in mind, so we talked about Saturday's game, but keep in mind on Sunday we've got a top 10 matchup with Michigan State going to Michigan. So that's a great game, too.
What a game. Wait,
number
but I got
nine
one. No,
against number
that's
four.
That's going to be great. No, you're right. That right there is actually going to be classic, right? I mean, it's, you know, great coaches, great players. I got one more, though, that we kind of slept on Saturday. This goes under the radar, but number 20, Butler at VCU. You know, Shaka Smart has got a nice
team.
Great
young coaches. Yep.
They're going to make the tournament. Young coaches, two teams who have done well in tournament the last 2 years.
Well,
this
final
is going
four,
to be one to watch.
They were both in the final four.
Yeah, that's a game that I personally want to see myself because I want to see VCU play. I've only seen them a little bit this year, but I want to see them, you know, once before the tournament starts, just to see how tough, you know, they really are. Because I think they're saying a lot of people have been saying it. Jay Billis has been saying it. I think Shaka might have his best team. I mean, the way they play defense and shoot their threes. That should be kind of fun, you know, fun to watch or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or DVR. Yes, let's do it.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's one of those things when we get into March, you know, and you say it's only the first, right, and the tournament's a little bit later this year, but the madness has begun. I mean, it's going to be intense from here on out. You know, the tournament starting, you got, you know, the last week of the season, next week. Is the last week at ACC.
In 2 weeks and 2 days.
Ah, I can't
right
wait.
Right around the corner.
All right, so let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with the NFL, trades, free agency, franchise tags, the whole nine. Ray and Tay.
Day in, day out. Day in, day out. How can we really see when our eyes are blinded to what we really need? Our mind. How can we really see when our eyes are blinded to what we really need? They control our mind.
We're back, and we're back to talk the National Football League. And if you thought the season ended with the Super Bowl, you're wrong.
Because
this league knows how to stretch their season all year long. And for football fans, we love it.
Well, you know what's so funny, Ray? I wanted to mention to you because we didn't get to talk about it. Do you know that these guys are such geniuses, but the NFLPA probably won't do it. But the NFL, they want to extend out the draft not to April but to May. And then, you know, go right from, let's say, the first May 1st to go right into the mini camps then. So they want to basically have every month be something where the NFL is dominating. That's just wild.
No,
to me.
The NFL marketing department is just unbelievable. The promotion, the marketing, they just. I mean, what can you say? I mean, a home run is not even. They hit a grand slam. You know, everything they do is just gold, and they're the league of leagues. So. But let's get into it.
The only bad thing was the referees this year. They kind of messed that up.
Yes.
They definitely
dropped the ball
up.
On that one. But the product,
so let me ask you this.
Almost can't mess up with the product.
Right. But let me ask you this. I think the shocker of the day is the NFC championship team who lost an NFC championship, the Falcons. They cut three players, not surprised about Turner. But they didn't have many sacks, but they get rid of their best sack guy in Abraham, which they might re-sign him back for, you know, less money. I could see that, but they might lose him. And then their cornerback, who they just signed a couple seasons ago, Dante Robinson. What do you think about the Falcons and what's going on with that, you know, in terms of the cap casualties and what they're going to do?
So – they have to sign their safety, right, and their corner. So those are big priorities. And they
Sam Baker, the lineman.
That's too. So they let go. Now, remember, you need to get under the cap, right? So they had to let go of people. Now, people thought that Michael Turner would be gone, and then Abraham with his, you know, health issues. So, but it is interesting to see that on the same day, Turner, Abraham, and Dante Robinson get released. You never know if these guys come back because the NFL is so weird like that. You can cut somebody
and
sign them back for less money. But the Falcons, and they're also trying to bring Tony Gonzalez back, right? So they got to find some way to lure him back. And I don't know if cutting veterans will help the cause or hurt the cause. But, look, the Falcons, like everybody else, have to operate in this salary cap environment. And, you know, there were rumors about them potentially looking at a Steven Jackson, but Steven Jackson's going to want at least Michael Turner money, so I'm not sure what they do.
Oh, more than that. Michael was $6.2 million. Steven's probably going to go for at least $8 million, maybe 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And you got Reggie Bush out there. But I think Reggie Bush is similar to Jacquez. My guess, I could see the Falcons signing Rashard Mendenhall from the Steelers or Ahmad Bradshaw. I could see them going there.
And Mendenhall and Jackson are more of a complement to Jacquizz Rodgers than Ahmad Bradshaw.
Right.
But they do need to add somebody because Jacquizz is our boy, but he is only probably a third down back and maybe, you know, to spell your starter. They definitely need to bring in a starter. Now, what do you think about our Jets bringing in David Garrard and looking at now, does he start? If you sign
David
Garrard, do you think he's better than Sanchez?
I got to say this. If healthy, I think he is better. I think he knows with Jacksonville when he, you know, obviously he hasn't played in 2 years, right? But with Jacksonville, he didn't turn the ball over a lot. That's what kept him around as a starter. He doesn't necessarily win you games, but he doesn't lose you games. I think, you know, he's a big guy, big arm, not super athletic. But I do think the Jets are saying they want to bring in 4 or 5 quarterbacks in total, so they might even draft one in the second round. And I think David Garrard, McElroy, and Sanchez, and maybe they bring in 2 others, I think competition will be the best thing. And I think David Garrard would win a competition over Sanchez. I really do. And I actually think he's better than Sanchez. So I think it's a good move for the Jets. You know, I think the Jets might be lucky that things might break for them, that they could wind up having a gem fall into their hands in Jarvis Jones in the draft. And that would just be fantastic. Because they need somebody to get to the quarterback, right?
Yes, they've had that problem under Rex Ryan for a while. Rex Ryan can scheme, and Rex Ryan can do great things on defense, but they didn't have a guy that would just
pull
his ears back and go get the quarterback. And if you have that, then it allows you to scheme and do other things and be even more creative. But he would have to get pressure on the quarterback schematically as opposed to just, I have more talent on defense than you have on offense blocking them. So if Jarvis Jones drops to number 9, assuming he has a great pro day and you know, all of his tape pans out, that would be
a nice
pickup for the Jets.
Well, you know what I find interesting?
Offensive linemen too, though.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I think their line isn't that bad. And what I find interesting with the Jets, You know, they're probably not going to bring back Sean Green, so they'll be looking for a running back. And I could even see them keeping it local and, you know, having Ahmad Bradshaw stay in New York and come over to the Jets, which he even mentioned that, you know, he would be interested in as well. But I kind of like him, you know, maybe even Cedric Benson, who might be a little old, but even the Mendenhall, Steven Jackson would be great for the Jets because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think the Jets are really going to have to try to get some toys for Sanchez or Garrard because they don't have much talent at the skill positions. They really don't. They really don't. You know,
they
you
need
know, also,
talent, absolutely. But what do you think about Darrell Revis, though? We didn't touch on this last show, but
well,
Darrell Revis was upset that his agent wasn't engaged at the combine, and he's saying, oh, I'm getting disrespected.
I think he's got to be a grown man and know that the NFL is a business. So forget about the upset. I just think it's hard to trade him to get back the value that the, you know, that he's really worth coming off the injury. So I think they keep him. He's under contract this season, and maybe he just has got to, you know, play this year and, you know, not be so happy with the contract. And if they want to trade him at the deadline, they're going to move the deadline back probably another week. So it'll probably go to, like, November, you know, later on in the season. But I think you got to keep Revis. I just think you got to convince him to play, you know, for a little bit less money. He's not going to get $15, $16 million a year. And maybe I give him 10. Maybe we do a 3-4 year deal. He gets some, you know, signing bonus money. And you got to keep Revis, though. I think
yeah, he wants to be paid as the top defensive player and one of the top players in the game. And coming off an ACL, now maybe a year and a half ago he could have made that argument, but coming off an ACL, it's a harder
argument
to make, especially the Jets with Jeff Idzik and the new management over there. He's not going to get that from the Jets. And I'm not sure he'll get that from anybody. He'll have to play a year, show he's healthy, and show if he's more like, you know, Derrick Rose, who takes a year to come back from an ACL, or if he's more like Adrian Peterson, who takes 6-7 months to come back from an ACL.
Ain't nobody 18, baby. Hey, this is interesting. As we talk about the franchise tags, nice defensive pass rusher, defensive end, and tackle Michael Johnson for the Bengals. They franchised him, who I had on my fantasy football team when we did defense this year in our Ray and Tay League or whatever from ESPN. I like him. He gets after the quarterback, and I like the young defensive line for the Bengals. He's a stud. But now that they've reached this contract, the Ravens with Flacco, I'm smelling and hearing some rumors that the Ravens might franchise Ed Reed or Ellerbe so they don't lose, you know, one of their defensive studs. I think that would be really smart of them and Ozzie Newsome. It'd be brilliant, you know.
Well, Ed Reed really has maybe 1 year left.
Yeah, so franchise him. Don't let him go to New England.
Yeah,
do not
I would
let him go to New England, Ray.
An agreement without franchising him because he doesn't need to be one of the top five highest paid safeties, does he?
For 1 year, why not? Why not? I mean, that contract's probably not that expensive. It's probably $8 or $9 million. The franchise tag. I didn't see where it's
Flacco
at. But
20.
Listen, you know what? He's earned it. Kudos to Flacco. Look, since 2006, he's had the best record at 62-30 of all the quarterbacks. I mean, better than Breeze, better than Brady, everybody. So, and including playoffs. So, give Flacco his respect. He's earned it, right? He bet on himself and he won.
Good
so, God
him.
Bless
yep.
him.
Yep. If you're gonna bet on
somebody,
I got
a question for you.
Yourself.
For all of our Oakland Raider fans, they got the third pick. They got to figure out what they're gonna do with Carson Palmer. Could you see the Raiders taking Geno Smith at number 3?
As much as I don't think Geno Smith is a top 10 quarterback, they could. They could because Terrell Pryor and, you know, anybody else that they have backing up, nobody excites me. And Carson Palmer hasn't been the same since your boy from Pittsburgh tore up his knee
and he makes
in
too
the
much
playoff
money.
Game.
He's too
yeah,
much money.
Yeah, and he's convinced people that he's still, you know, Carson Palmer circa 2005, and he really isn't. So there's no future in Carson Palmer in Oakland, and they do have some decent weapons with, you know, Denarius Moore, and they got Darren McFadden, and they've got Marcel Reese. So they've got some players on offense. I could see them taking a chance on Geno Smith, and let's see how Matt Barkley does. Again, I don't think Matt Barkley's a top 10 quarterback, but you know what?
No.
You don't pay $50 million guaranteed like you did to Sam Bradford to
That's
draft
right.
a quarterback number one.
So people
why
are more
not?
Prone to reach. Yeah.
It's,
to reach
exactly.
quarterback
it's the most
the
important
round.
Position possibly in all of sports. So go for it. Go for it.
It's worth the risk, right? The risk reward.
Yeah, the guys they
I
have
guarantee
on the roster playing quarterback are not it.
No, you're right. And I guarantee you this. Geno Smith and Barkley will both be drafted in the first round. Guarantee it. And I'll tell you this. Geno Smith, if it's not the Raiders, he doesn't get past the Cardinals at seven. I could see the Cardinals taking Geno Smith because I just don't think they'll probably release Cobb, swallow that mistake, right, and just get rid of that albatross of that contract. And it's just Geno is going to go. He's going to go three or seven. I really see him going in that top part. I don't know where Barkley's going to go, but is Barkley another, you know, USC quarterback, another failure, Sanchez, Matt Leinart, like all these guys. Even Palmer had a couple big years, but he hasn't been consistent. USC quarterbacks have not really, shined in
no,
the
No, they
NFL.
Haven't delivered the goods. No, they haven't. But you know what? We'll be talking NFL all month. Even though it's March and it's March Madness, it's also leading up to the draft, which is the end of April. We'll talk NFL in March. We'll talk NFL in April, and we'll talk NFL all summer long for you. But
basically, let's hoop it up.
Let's talk. Yeah, let's keep it moving on the show, and let's talk a little bit of NBA.
Well,
so,
the first thing I got to tell you, before we get to anything else, I just got to stand up and applaud that man. Stephen Curry, 54 points at the Garden. I'm glad the Knicks won. I'm a Knicks fan. But watching that game the other night and the Warriors, you know, they didn't have David Lee. You could argue whether or not him, you know, that he should have been suspended. And, you know, then Hibbert missed the next game when they lost to the Clippers the other night, which helped the Knicks. But kudos to Stephen Curry because 54 points and how accurate he is and the way he shoots his threes. I think he's the best shooter in the NBA right now. And that was just one of those magical performances, right? Like the double nickel from Jordan, Kobe 61, LeBron's 50-something. It was great, man. What did you think about Curry at the Garden the other night?
You know, he might go down as one of the purest shooters of all time. Curry is maybe better than his father in terms of purely scoring the basketball. And even his all-around game because he had to play point guard his senior season at Davidson when he stayed. So Steph Curry was magical that night, right? He had 54. Woo. I saw the game, and wow, that was a fun game. And his coach,
did it make
Mark
you feel
Jackson,
like you were watching him in the tournament with Davidson? It was kind of magical like that, wasn't it? Like he couldn't
yeah,
move.
Yeah, it was his team, and he was pulling up from three on the break. It was great. Look, he's a fun guy to watch, and I called you right after the game, and I said, what a difference one pick makes, right? The Knicks get Jordan Hill. Which was
don't make
one
me cry.
Pick after Steph Curry. And I actually thought Jordan Hill would be decent, but I had a feeling that Steph Curry, at the very least, win, you know, a three-point shooting contest. But, who knew that he'd average 20 a game? And if it weren't for such a huge collection of talent, especially in the Western Conference, at the guard position, I mean, the guy couldn't even make an all-star team.
Yeah, but he went to the Garden and showed everybody, I am an all-star.
Well,
just a little update, Ray. I got to give you a little update. Third quarter, Knicks are up down at Washington, 69-68 on the Wizards, the new and improved Wizards, because they've been balling.
The John Wall Wizards. But here's the thing.
Definitely.
So we got to give kudos to the little guy. We got to give kudos to the big guy. Joakim Noah, did you see the game that he put up last night?
Incredible.
23 points, 21 rebounds. So right there, stop. That's a great game.
Right.
That's
ridiculous.
The best game
right
of
there.
Your career if you're a big man, right? You're in Barkley, Akeem, you know, category, Shaq, you know, Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain category. But
right
to add
game.
To that, he had 11 blocks and 3 steals. So he had a 2010 triple-double. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's only been done twice in NBA history. Only two people in NBA history have done it more than once. I think it was Akeem, and if I'm not mistaken, it was
Barkley?
No, I don't
Moses.
Think it was Barkley. Was it was it
like Moses.
Somebody did it, three or four people did it once, and
right.
two people did it twice. That means that is an unbelievable feat, 20-20-10 for a big man. So Joakim Noah, you know, he's turned into a player. We saw him at Florida, and we saw he and Horford in
yeah,
the front court.
He might have to get a letter from us in a couple of weeks, right? He might have to.
Dear Joakim.
He's
and
a
we'll
candidate
get to that
for that.
We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. We'll tell you about
yeah.
our segment. Yeah.
So,
but anyway,
so
going around
this.
The NBA, what are you thinking about? I mean, you know, we've got the playoff run coming up. So we talked a little about the Knicks getting back on track, beating Golden State. Golden State was tough. You know, they got into that little scuffle with Indiana earlier in the week,
yeah.
and they said, you know, we're not going to back down. Talk to me about the Lakers. The Lakers, they're
well,
only two games
I'll
out
tell
of the
you
playoffs.
This, right? I think what's interesting, you know, the Knicks are trying to hold that two spot. They're sort of mathematically tied with the Pacers, and maybe they win tonight. That helps them, and they beat Sixers and Golden State two in a row, right? So the Knicks-Pacers will battle out for 2-3. But when I look at the Lakers, and, you know, Kobe got busy last night, they beat Minnesota, I honestly feel that Houston and L.A., because right now the Lakers are two games back behind Houston and 2.5 behind Utah. I think what's going to happen is Houston's going to get 7, Lakers will get 8, and Utah will drop out of the playoffs. And I just, because Utah struggles on the road, and I just feel like the Lakers, whether Gasol, you know, comes back, you know, earlier than, you know, his coach believes, which I think he will, I just really see that the Lakers are playing much better. You know, kudos to Howard, Nash, Kobe. They look like a little bit of a different team. And Earl Clark and Middle World Peace are really stepping up, you know, crashing boards defensively. So I think the Lakers will make the playoffs. And let me tell you, Ray, they're going to be dangerous. They're going to be dangerous. And whether they play the Spurs or, you know, they don't – I think they'll lose to OKC if they play them. But I think they could beat the Clippers or the Spurs if they wind up playing them in the first round. You know, I really do.
And remember, all those first-round series are best of 7. So, you know, in a long series, when the old team gets to rest, because you only play, you play every other day.
Right, it's not back-to-back.
Right, there's no back-to-back.
Makes a big difference, right?
It sure does. Bringing it to the East, what do you think about your Miami Heat
well,
and the Harlem
Shake?
Well,
it's funny that you brought
Did
it there
the
because
Harlem
tonight
Shake?
Yo, tonight, that video is great. I think LeBron is loose again. No, not that much stress. Ray Allen was great in the video. I think it's cool. It's funny.
Wade was
Jayhawks
cool with the little
it.
Hat.
yeah, and Birdman, Chris Anderson, you know, he set it off first. I think it's great, and it shows that Miami has got that swag. But I got to tell you, Sunday is a huge game. Miami comes into the Garden at 1 o'clock on ABC. It's going to be a battle. They've lost, got embarrassed, blown out by over 20 twice to the Knicks this year. You better believe Miami wants to embarrass the Knicks in the Garden on national television. But I think tonight, let's, you know, we got to check out Miami and Memphis. That game is going on. That's going to be a big battle. And I also like tonight, watch OKC at Denver. I think Denver, they show people that at home they're a much better team. But at 37-22, and right now they're in the fifth seed, Denver's a good team. If they can just win one game on the road, Denver could win a series because their home court advantage is so ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, my problem with Denver has always been that they don't have a go-to guy. So if you need a bucket, are you telling me that Danilo Gallinari is getting you the bucket? Ty Lawson's getting you the bucket? Andre Iguodala's getting you the bucket. Who's getting you the tough basket? The
KFC
down one
is getting you the bucket. Fucking fried chicken. That's
KFC.
What you get the bucket.
Hot wings. But you're down one
sauce, baby.
On the road, and you need a bucket. Who's getting it to you? And what's your play? What are you
I don't trust De Niro. I think you know what I need? I need Ty Lawson to penetrate and maybe get me a foul. Maybe he dishes and throws it to Fareed, but you're right. They don't have a pure go-to get me 2 points. So I think it's going to be for them each game who's got the hot hand. But at least you've got a point guard that can break somebody off the dribble, right? So that creates.
Yes, Ty Lawson, our boy from Carolina. Shout out to the Tar Heels.
He is so fast, Ray, with the ball. He's ridiculous. He's really ridiculous. I definitely. But you know what? I got to say, I tweeted this out the other night, man, and I tell people always, you know, come follow us at Twitter at Ray and Tay today at Twitter. But CP3, in any other year, if LeBron wasn't doing what he was doing and Durant, CP3 should be and could be MVP.
Tony Parker, too. Tony Parker,
too. No. They're both incredible.
Four guys that on any other year would win MVP. I mean, they're putting up MVP numbers. Like you said, Paul, Durant, Parker. Even
it's just LeBron got
top,
it.
James Harden, talk about valuable to his team. You take James Harden off Houston, and they're nothing. But LeBron is just everybody else is superhuman. LeBron is like extraterrestrial or on another, atmospheric.
Clippers are hot though, right? 8-2 in their last 10. So I think you got to watch out. Watch out for the Clippers. They're probably stuck in that third seed. But they are, there's a chance they can move up to 2 if they could catch OKC, but 3 games back in a loss column, so I seriously doubt it. Let me ask you this before we, move on to our new segment. Toronto, and I said this before, I don't know if they can make a push for the playoffs. They're probably, too far out, but I really think if the season – if they had this roster when the season started, they've now passed Philly. When you look at Milwaukee, who's in the eighth spot, Toronto is 6 games behind Milwaukee. Now, I don't know if they could catch them. They probably can't. Probably too much, right? But, boy, have the Raptors started to turn it around, 23-35. Rudy Gay, Lowry, these guys, if you ever got Bagnarni to stay healthy and play some defense, the Raptors, they lost 2 in a row, but 6-4 in their last 10, and they've been playing some great ball. So kudos to the Raptors, and maybe the fans finally have a big-time player that could stay for a little bit and something to root for,
Yeah, if you're a Toronto fan, you're saying to yourself, all right, we got to get rid of some of these international players because this isn't the UN intramural squad. This is the NBA squad. So I like the fact that they brought some Europeans and some international flavor in, but at the end of the day, you have to assemble the best team possible. And the problem they always had was keeping people happy and keeping free agents. Think about how Alonzo Mourning just kind of abandoned ship, and Vince Carter abandoned ship, and Tracy McGrady abandoned ship. So if Toronto can become a destination again, and maybe they can lock down a free agent to put alongside Rudy Gay and some of the young talent that they have there, then they could be a decent team in the Eastern Conference. I like them.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, and they're definitely interesting. So listen, let me properly introduce this with a little bit of musical flavor, the track I'm Sorry, because you know what? It's time for our new segment, I'm Sorry, from Ray Tay Today. We got to send our letters out, and we're going to do it in a matter of seconds because this is I'm Sorry. New segment by Ray and Tay. Our little theme music. Ray, you go first.
Okay.
Who are you sorry and who's your letter going to?
All right. So just to give you some background really quickly, Ray and Tay have been sports fans our whole lives. We've known each other for over 30 years. And a lot of times we're critical of people. We call it like we see it. And sometimes, occasionally, not very often, but occasionally, we're just wrong. We're wrong.
A little over the top sometimes. Too passionate.
A little, yeah. But you know what? We're men enough to admit when we're wrong. And so we have a letter-writing campaign where we write the player a letter. And we say, look, we're sorry. We underestimated you. We disrespected you. We didn't give you enough credit.
On you.
And now we slept on you.
Now we give you a props.
And now we woke up, and we're giving you the credit that that's deserving. So without further ado, I'll kick it off. And if you come back to our show before the season, we introduced the NBA season. We did an NBA preview for an hour and a half. And we talked about one
October
James
29th, if you want to go click
Harden
on it and listen, with guest Anthony Donahue. Yeah.
Exactly. You can click on it. And we talked about one James Harden, who at the time was coming off his Olympics. He didn't have a great NBA Finals. In fact, he had a very poor NBA Finals by his standard. And he was looking for max money. And so the management of the OKC Thunder, so Sam Presti and the crew, said, you know what? we can't pay him max money, and therefore they decided to trade him to Oklahoma, from Oklahoma City to Houston. And we all said, you know what, he's not a max player. And I said, I'll take it fully on myself.
We both said it, but you and Anthony were a little bit more gung-ho about it than me.
James Harden is not mad money max, and he is not a max player, and he's not worth building your team around. This guy is a complimentary player. He's the second or third best player on your team. On Oklahoma City, he was the third best player on the team, and I said he should be paid like that. So, dear James, comma, I am sorry for underestimating your skills. You are a max player. Exclamation point. Exclamation point. Exclamation point. This guy has turned out to be a heck of a player and not just a third wheel on that Oklahoma City Thunder team. I mean, the guy is averaging 26.4 points a game, shooting 45% from the field, 36% from three, 85% from the line. And not only is he averaging 26.5, okay, we've had scorers in the NBA before, but he's averaging just shy of 5 rebounds per game and 5.7 assists a game. So almost.
And 1.8 steals. He's in the top five in scoring and
steals. So if you round up, it's 26.5, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. James Harden, you are a max player. You are a franchise player, and if it weren't for you, the Houston Rockets would not be anywhere near playoff contention, with the next two best players being, you know, Chandler Parsons, Omer Asik, and Jeremy Lin. So, James Harden, my apologies to you. I'm sorry. You're Max. In fact, I might have to call you Max. I might have to call you Max Harden.
Max Harden.
Not James anymore.
It.
It's Max
it.
Harden because you're
All
a
right.
Max player.
Well, let me get to my guys. I kind of came on the show a little bit before the trade deadline when the first trade went down. Rudy Gay from the Memphis Grizzlies was shipped to the Toronto Raptors. Great deal for the Raptors. They've been balling out or whatever. And I kind of ripped Memphis, who had made a trade prior to free up some money. And I said, you know what? The Memphis Grizzlies, who are now 38-18, have ruined their team, their franchise, and their chance for a chip. Well, let me tell you this. 20-13 in their conference, 5-5 in their division, 23-8 at home. 15-10 on the road, they are 8-2 in their last 10. And I believe that there's something like 14-5 since the trade, something like that. I got to tell you, the
eight
Memphis
in a row.
Grizzlies.
They're going up against the Heat, but 8 in a row.
Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies have balled out. I still question about the playoffs, but as far as we got to say for our show and for our segment, I got to say, I am sorry. I apologize to the Grizzlies. They are balling out. They're better defensively. Tony Allen, Tayshaun Prince has been helping out. They're probably way better defensively now with Prince. Austin Day, they got some young players. There's, you know, the ball's flowing. They're scoring. And I do like Rudy Gay, but maybe he was, you know, too much on the isolation. So Tay has got to say officially, I apologize and I am sorry to the Memphis Grizzlies. Because you know what? You guys are playing ball really well without Rudy Gay.
Absolutely.
So that's it,
and
our
they
new
get
segment.
Salary flexibility, too.
Yeah, and they're under the cap, and, you know, hey, you got to give them their props. They did what they had to do. I think it might burn them in the playoffs, but we'll see. But right now, I'm sorry. Great show. We'll see about
Yeah, we
Monday.
Had a great show. Thanks
Michael
for
Powers.
Tuning in.
Yeah.
And, we had a blast. We got a couple guests for you next week. So
yeah.
Monday and Friday, tune in. We got some good sports talk. We got a Seattle resident. We got Ian Bagley from ESPN New York coming on Friday. So tune back in. Ray and Tay
yep.
today.
Look
Thanks
out for those
joining.
Games this weekend.
Have a great Knicks. Weekend.
It's going to be great. And also go to rayandtaytoday.com. You know, we are out. Ray and Tay today.
We're
Talking
out.
Sports with friends.
as long as you love me.